Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Ah, the Slinky. Would the Slinky even survive today if it was introduced as a brand new toy? Everything now is tech-centric. Think about that. All of these fancy schmancy new toys, everything goes through a video game system. If you ask any red-blooded American child, what do you want for a toy? I want a video game. Even the girls play some of these games as well. So what is it that attracts a kid to a toy if it's not technical in nature? If it's not an app or a tap or this or that? Or I see kids, I see eight-year-olds walking around with smartphones. Why? There are certain things like, here's one, Lego. Incredibly popular. I guess the key is to find something that will trigger creativity and enjoyment at the same time. So how do toy companies stay alive in this tech age? It is an increasingly digital world. It seems as if the traditional toys of decades past are waning in popularity among toy makers eager to gain new young fans. In order to capture the attention of children looking for the newest item on store shelves, companies are adding buttons, creating apps, and launching into completely new areas of toy technology to ensure they are at the forefront of the digital wave in children's play. Lincoln Logs are cast aside in favor of puzzle apps on tablets, and digital companies are pairing up with toy companies like Little Tykes to create play on a screen instead of the living room floor. I think that's awful. Nothing replaces holding things with your hand and making things. It's called developing motor skills. All we're doing is developing the opportunity and the ability to tap on a piece of glass. And that's horrible. And as a parent, you need to make sure your kids play. And don't just stare at the screen that's going to glare and glaze back at them. We are not trying to create a bunch of robots who will be addicted to these glass-topped tablet machines that are looking to control us for the next 40 to 50 to 60 to 70 years of our lives. But how are analog games, I like how they throw the old-fashioned term in there, right? Without computer chips supposed to compete through a series of hard lessons, Lego learned the solution often comes in moderation. The Lego company, founded in 1926, has updated over the years, but based much of the company around the plastic building bricks that made the company so well known. Just as Kleenex is so often the general term for tissues, the success of the toy brand means that plastic building blocks are just called Legos, no matter the actual manufacturer. But the rise of technology has not always been kind to the company, and it's taken quite a balancing act to bring the company back from the brink of bankruptcy in 2003. At the 2015 New York Toy Fair, back in February, Lego Senior Director of Brand Relations Michael McNally told Fast Company the business wasn't going to buy the idea that kids only want toys with smart chips. You put the toy industry under one roof and you hear, "This is what kids want," he said. Lego very resolutely stands in opposition to that. Bravo for that. Lego's turnaround story. Well, maybe it's because the company already knows that throwing misguided innovation at kids won't typically yield success. Innovation became a key focus for the company in 2000. It followed all of the rules. Lego followed all the advice of the experts, said David Robertson, a professor of operations and information management at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. Quote, "and yet it almost went bankrupt," unquote. By 2003, after a series of unsuccessful theme parks and toys that were only popular in niche markets, Lego lost $300 million and was projected to lose another $400 million in 2004. The company had been innovative, as Robertson explained, but hadn't stayed rooted in the reason they were successful. Not enough attention was paid to the literal building blocks of the company. So instead, the company sought to integrate with the digital world in more balanced ways. When products are developed, the goal is to inspire play among children, no matter the medium they're using. So at Lego today, that means a balance of real-life blocks and virtual systems. Instead of making video games that were only created for a virtual reality, the makeup of Lego's games inspire kids to build in real life, too. The nature of play started to become noticeably reciprocal. Kids see no difference between the digital and physical world, McNally said. It could be content on YouTube that inspires them to go back and play. Our goal is to surround kids with experiences that drive them back to building. The idea is echoed by Michael Cohen, a developmental psychologist and market researcher. Cohen, when interviewed by ToyInfo.org, said that technology often becomes a means for the imagination, not the core of what the child experiences. With every new technology, there's a novelty phase. The fact that it's on touch screen becomes the big thing, but then the technology becomes so integrated into our lives that it becomes functional. The focus will be back on the play rather than the technology. At the Toy Fair in New York, the emphasis was still on technology. The Verge, a website dedicated to the intersection of technology and culture, picked out several of the latest toys poised to hit the market. Crayola has an app that brings coloring pages to life by recreating the page on screen. Kids can then use a mannequin to make the figure move on the screen. Anki Overdrive mixes video game technology with a real-life race course. Fisher-Price has a smart Kinect set that allows parents to control their child's cradle or nursery mobile with their phones. Wow. Lego made The Verge's list as well. After a hugely successful movie release in 2014 that grossed over $250 million in the U.S. alone, the company introduced technology that allows kids to use the toy figures to interact with an app. Lego Fusion blends building specially created bricks and scanning them with a tablet. The characters within the app tell a story, battle each other, and more as the kids build the structures in real life. The products were first released in mid-2014. The increase in technology can be a concern for parents, though no recent concerns have popped up from Lego users. Mattel, the makers of Barbie, have been fielding concerns because of how their newest doll interacts with children. Using cloud software, the new Hello Barbie incorporates speech recognition and connects to Wi-Fi. When kids or anyone press a button on her belt buckle, "Hello, Barbie." The doll records what they say and sends it up to the cloud, keeping a growing record of the children's likes and dislikes. Wow. The doll is scheduled to go on sale this fall for $75. Some critics say the doll is too creepy for their kids. The company says it's only providing what children have already imagined, a way to have a conversation with Barbie. Regardless of trends in toys and whether some, like Hello Barbie, even make it onto the gift list, Cohen told Toy Info that the long-term success of any toy, unplugged or not, will have to do with the play value and not the gadgets. I think part of the reason we're seeing a resurgence of unplugged toys is that they have immense play value, he said, and those are the ones that are evergreens. It means they go on forever. We'll see an explosion of digital toys, but the ones that are going to make it are the ones that offer extraordinary play value, and that will be used over and over. In essence, as long as Lego still inspires kids to play and be creative, the company will be just fine. I still think, though, in an attempt to move away from tech, they are still trying to be quite reliant on tech. Can't you just get some Legos? And it doesn't have to be a theme. It doesn't have to be SpongeBob or Star Wars or whatever the movie is right now. When I was a kid, one of my favorite toys was simply a bag of Legos. They weren't themed. Do you remember the blue base plank? Mm-hmm. And then you would take the different sizes and colors of Legos and you would create buildings. And when you got really good, you could be able to position them so you had windows built in and doors and the whole thing. And you could make whatever you want. It was called using your imagination. You weren't doing what George Lucas wanted you to construct with your Star Wars or what the folks at Nickelodeon wanted you to do with the SpongeBob thing. So why does everything have to be related to, make it and then go tap it on the app and you can see it virtually? No. See it in your mind and use your imagination. Are we developing children or are we simply developing future customers for Apple? Think about it, folks. If you're a parent, how do you expect your child to function as a thinking, rational, emotional, cogent, feeling human being? Get them away from the tablets. Enough. You know what? Go to the store right now and buy two things. Go buy a tablet of paper and go buy a box of crayons and tell your child, do whatever you want with them. That's how you raise a child. You go take the smartphone and you take the tablet. Don't take away the kid's childhood. Let the kid grow up the way you and I grew up. Not as automatrons. there still are some pretty good board games out there. And that way, a family can play together. I love the commercials as well for a lot of the cable companies or for the phone companies, and it shows this lovely, happy family, and they're all sitting at the dinner table, and they're eating, and they all have their device with them at the same time. Dad is staring over into the living room at the 98-inch television. Mom is tapping away at a smartphone, and the kid has a tablet. At dinner time. Really? Nothing says the American family in 2015 than that, does it not? Stay with us. Coming up next, how your boss knows you may be getting ready to quit your job. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Welcome to American Biker Minutes. Colorado Pete recalls the Sturgis old days.
The crowd was 25, 30,000 max. Kept us all in City Park. Policemen be at the gate taking your money.
What could possibly go wrong?
Everybody's walking around with sidearms on.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute.
We'd import our own strippers, 25,000 people crammed in there. People on top of the crappers. The police and the sanitary people were so afraid to come in there. It was a sanitation issue. So we liberated some fuel from Japanese motorcycles, poured in through the vent holes, dropped matches in simultaneously, and the doors would go poof, and people would be diving off the top. Pretty interesting.
American Biker Minute.
In the 80s.
Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He was the number four pick in the 1996 draft and played for five NBA teams. He's a two-time All-Star who tallied over 16,000 points in his career.
Marbury stutters to baseline drive, reverse, yes!
So where is Stephon Marbury now? Stephon's been playing in the Chinese Basketball Association since 2010 and was on the championship squad in 2012. He led his team by averaging 45 points per game in a single playoff series. Stephon recently made news when he was ordered to pay his former personal chef $330,000 for an old sexual harassment settlement.
Plenty of time. Marbury goes at Prince inside. Layup. It's good.
Stephon Marbury, or as they used to call him, Starberry. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.